We're going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and going through to the end of that section. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Thanks be to God for that reading. Now, I don't know about you, but I had a real problem with that reading when I was a youngster. I didn't understand a word of it. I used to sit in church year by year and listen to people read it, and it just went straight over my head. There were too many words that said the same to say the same thing, and I couldn't focus on it. I couldn't concentrate on it. Now, 39 years ago, I was a student at Manchester University. And yes, it's a long time ago, I know. And the first year I was there, in our Hall of Residence, we had a carol service. It was planned by the Christian Union and the chapel that we had in our Hall of Residence. And most of the students in our Hall of Residence used to come to that carol service. It was one of those things that people did, they went to. And I was excited about it. I thought, this is great. It's a great opportunity to just say something about the Christian message to people who don't really understand a word about it. And I was looking forward to doing a reading. And somebody gave me that one to do. And I went, "Oh my goodness me, I can't do this reading. I don't like it. I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, how can I speak out those words with any meaning and any truth?" I was really quite upset, easily upset when I was 18. I went home to my room. I prayed about it. I read it. It still didn't mean anything to me. And I read it again and again over the next few days. And slowly but surely, the scales of my eyes were opened. And I suddenly realized that this is the most precious reading of Christmas season. Without any doubt at all. God showed me something on that occasion that I have treasured for nearly 40 years. So this morning I have an opportunity just to share a few thoughts about that, and I hope that in my simplicity, because I am a simple soul, in my simplicity, you will learn something from what I say today, because it just helps to put into context all those other Christmas readings. If I can have the PowerPoint up on the screen, let's just run through this fairly quickly, because I'm sure you're all freezing in your seats this morning, so I will not try to keep you for too long. First of all, God is for us. In the beginning of that reading, we read that God had a plan in the beginning. Right back in creation, his plan was that God and humans would live in harmony. It was simple. That's the plan that God had in the beginning. It was a perfect plan, but we messed it up. We made a great big mistake, because as people, we chose to go a different way to that which God wanted in the beginning. Jesus was right there at the beginning. Verse 5 talks about the Word. Now, that's one of those difficult bits, but that just basically means that Jesus was with God right back at the beginning of creation. And he was aware of the initial plan. And he was also fully aware of the way that we messed up and we broke it. The Old Testament is a story of God's interaction with man, and with man attempting to get himself back in God's good books at times. Most of the time, it's a story of messing up and getting it even more wrong. Last week, Rob, for those of you who battled through the snow, spoke to us about some of the prophecies of the Old Testament and the foretelling of Jesus coming and the plan that was being formulated to be that rescue plan that Graham just alluded to. It shows us that right throughout the Old Testament, God was on our side. He was looking for a plan to put into place to restore our broken relationship. I read this week and I thought this was good. If our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a saviour. God is for us. That's the first thing I want you to take away from this morning. The first thing that we can see from this passage, God is there. Secondly, Jesus is with us. Simple words, powerful application. I wonder how many of you here this morning are parents or have been, a lot of you will be parents. A lot of you will have had children and you'll have routines that you go through when you get to bedtime. In our house, Helen used to do certain things with the children every night that drove me mad. She would sing to them, she'd sing a silly song that she'd drawn up, but the children loved it. It was their way of being comfortable before they went to sleep, and it was great, because generally, they did sleep quite well, and generally they wanted her at bedtime, not me, so it was even better. But seriously, I just want to tell you this story. It's a silly story, but it makes a good point. There's a story of a dad who used to tell the story of Goldilocks and his three bears to his children every night before they went to sleep. Now, that would have driven me mad. To tell the same story night after night would have driven me completely crackers. So, I think he got a bit fed up with it too. He came up with a plan. And one night he decided he wanted to sit downstairs and read the newspaper. So he recorded the story and put it on to a CD. And he played it to the children in their beds. And he went downstairs to read the newspaper. What could go wrong, he thought. Perfect plan. They've got my voice. They're hearing the story that they want. It's not a problem. He listened for the end of the story. He heard the CD machine just click. And then he heard the telltale footsteps of a child coming downstairs. And we've all been there, haven't we, as parents? The door opens. His son shuffles onto his lap. And he sits there for a cuddle. So the dad turns to him and says, well, what's the matter, son? You've had your story. It was my voice. And the son turned round and he said, you know, Dad, the CD player can't put its arms around my neck. And you know, Jesus is with us, Emmanuel, and in a sense, his coming is that element of God putting his arms around our neck and giving us a cuddle. Because he wanted to come and be a fully fledged human being. He wanted to come to shed light into our darkness, as our reading tells us. He had 100% fully human characteristics. He had all the feelings and emotions that I've got. He made friends. He was let down by friends. He slept. He ate. He got tired. He was fully human. But he was also fully divine. That is the wonder of what happened when Jesus, Emmanuel, came with us. He was that light to show us the way. He offers us something very precious. And this was the bit in the reading that really got me when I was a student 39 years ago. I'm going to read this verse to you again. Because this was the moment that I felt this was the reading that tells you what you need to know about Christmas. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not the possibility, the right. 100% a right to be a child of God. That applies to every single one of us in the congregation this morning. There is no getting away from the fact that Jesus coming as Emmanuel makes it possible for us to have a restored relationship with God. It is that moment when God puts his arms around our necks. Our choice is to accept it or to reject it. That's your choice. Now, I suspect most of you that are in church this morning have accepted that, but maybe some of you haven't. And if you haven't, I would ask you to stop listening to the rest of this sermon and just focus on that thought. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Saviour? Do you know what it is to know his love and his forgiveness in your life? Third thing, I said I was going to run through these quickly this morning, and I am deliberately. The Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus shows us what God is like. God's full nature is made clear to us through the life of Jesus. Yet to those who have accepted him as Saviour and Lord, an even more remarkable thing happens. We experience a new spiritual birth. We become a child of God. And that new birth is guaranteed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We get that from later on in Scripture. This verse in Romans is an example. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present and at work in each one of us who know what it is to be a Christian. Without the Spirit of God, we're like a branch that has got no sap
running through it. We're like coals that are out of the fire. We're like a sailing ship when there's no wind. We are completely useless. There's a story told of a little boy who was flying a kite. It was a windy day, great for kite flying, and the kite gradually got higher and higher in the sky. It got so high that it was virtually out of sight. And a man passed by, and he saw the little boy holding the string, and he couldn't see what was on the end of it because the kite was so high. And he turned to him, and he said to the little boy, "How do you know that you've got a kite up there?" And the boy replied, "Because I can feel it." And you know, although we can't see the Holy Spirit, we should be able to sense his work in our lives, changing us into the image of Christ. As I said, I've cut this morning. I don't want to keep you for too long because you're going to be freezing. But I do want you to go away with these three points to remember. Very, very simple, because that's who I am. I am actually really simple at heart. God is for us. God is with us. And God is in us. This passage is, in a sense, like a bit of theological glue. It holds all the other parts of the Christmas story together because it makes sense of what happens. It makes sense of the shepherds. It makes sense of the angels. It makes sense of the wise men coming and bringing their gifts. It only makes sense, the whole Christmas story, when you understand that God did it to bring light into our darkness. He did it because he's got a plan for each one of us and our lives. This passage provides that framework into which all the lovely details that we pick up from the other Christmas readings fit. I hope that as you go away from here this morning, you will just be able to take something of the simplicity of this and put it to work in your life, to challenge you about your perception of your understanding of Christmas afresh. I've been a Christian for 40-odd years. I lose track. 41 years, I think it is, this year. Am I as excited this Christmas about what God has done for me? Are you as excited this Christmas about what God has done for you? He's for us, he's with us, and he's in us. Bless him for that.